The Blitz, Monday to Friday, 2:30 to 4. Mitch Widmeyer right here with you. Going to the phone lines, our guest today, as he joins us every Monday, Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers and sports director at Minnesota News Network. Mike, as always, the time's appreciated. Two big wins this past week for Minnesota, and it took double overtime against Iowa. Some questionable calls along the way, but however you can chalk up a W at this juncture in the season, you just do so, correct?
No doubt about it. And the Gophers, with three wins in a row, now put themselves at 500 in the league. They basically need to play jump ball basketball, so to speak, 50-50 the rest of the way. If they finish at 9-9, we all feel good about their shot of making the NCAA. Now they have four home games out of the next out of their final six. So, quite honestly, why not get greedy, try to go for 10, get to 10 wins in the Big Ten, and then you'd have no doubt, you'd have a decent seed, you'd have an opportunity to go someplace in March and try to make some noise. The one thing I'll say, on that Iowa game, and I know the held ball situation has been made, that's been talked about a lot, and that was just a terrible call by all the crew, the official underneath. The tied ball was right. There was no foul committed, but, of course, Murphy's foot was out of bounds. Two Iowa players were trying to call a timeout, and they missed all of that. So that's a tough pill to swallow, because at the time, if they get the timeout, they're up two with 20 seconds, and it's still not over. I mean, Minnesota still has opportunities to make plays. We don't know how it would end. I mean, they could go down and miss the free throw, and Gophers could come down and hit a three, and it's over then in regulation, So so you just don't know. The other thing I'll say is that people know what my feelings are. I think the league's, you get nearing a crisis state in regard to how some of these things that are happening officiating wise. I mean, there's an issue in every game. We saw that Indiana-Purdue crazy call. We saw even the Rutgers-Minnesota game had a couple of head scratchers. It's a hard job. But I'd say even in that Iowa game, I talked to Gopher people who were unaware after the game. They were unaware of just how bad that call was against Iowa. On that tied ball, and they were convinced that the Gophers were getting the raw end of the deal all game. And when you think about it, like, Peter Jock fouled out of that game about seven times, but they would refuse to get their star player fouled out. I mean, he literally, in an NBA, if it was an NBA game, it would have been an easy clear path foul call. They just would not blow the whistle when Amir Coffey stole the ball. And Minnesota's lucky that they didn't call the foul, because they got a dunk on the other end. It was a breakaway dunk. But Jock reached out and grabbed Coffey as he was heading for the layup, and they just would not foul him out. So, and he was the hot hand, obviously, and got them back in that game. So, that we can hem and haw all around. End of the day, it's a tough game to officiate, and you got to overcome it sometimes. And sometimes you get a break, and I know many Gopher fans feel like it maybe evened out, because they felt maybe one was yanked away from them on the road at Ohio State early too. So it is what it is, and here Minnesota sits at 6-6.
Jordan Murphy was a monster against the Hawkeyes before he fouled out. 25 points, 13 rebounds. I think he had four blocks as well. And last year, Mike, it felt like oftentimes he had to be the guy. And this year he has plenty of help, but still has the capabilities to be the dominating factor if need be.
Yep, and I think Mitch has started now to, he and Pitino have had a couple of conversations about, where he needs to be as a player. And I do think this, his offensive game, his point production, even last year through his very productive freshman year, didn't come through his play offensively in regard to, like, okay, here's a play we're going to run for Jordan Murphy, or, hey, let's get the ball to Jordan and let him go to work in the post. Many of his points came as a result of hard work, putbacks on dunks, offensive rebounds, running the floor in transition and getting easy buckets at the end of that. And I think that he had gotten away from that. I don't think the effort, I don't think the effort lacked. It wasn't like, hey, I'm not going to go try to get points and offensive rebounds. But I think there were many times, and he's an okay offensive player. And I don't, and Pitino tried to explain this and got ripped for it, saying that he wasn't standing up for his player. And I don't think that's what he's trying to say. I actually think he's defending his player, that people are putting an unfair burden on Murphy. Like, if you watch Jordan, when he gets the ball, say, at the mid post, and they give it to him there a lot, I think that has shrunk a little bit. They're not giving it him there very much. I think they figured that, look, that's not the strength of his game. You know, and when he tries to back a guy down, make a move, you know, he either turns the ball over or his mid-range game still has some work to do. You know, that 8-footer, that 6-footer, he's actually a little better at the 16-footer. And if that part of his game continues to evolve, he's going to become, you know, a player that's going to earn money someplace, you know, in basketball. But what he's now found, I think, is that, hey, look, go be that garbage man. Go get offensive rebounds. Run the floor. You know, do those kind of things. And then the other thing he has done is instead of trying to back a guy down in recent games, he has simply just said, I'm going to blow by him. I'm faster. I'm 6'6". There's a 6'9 guy guarding me. He can't stay with me. So I'm not going to post him up and be challenged with a contested shot. I'm going to ball fake him and then blow by him and get to the rim that way. And that has changed the game. I mean, to back-to-back double-doubles, I actually, Mitch, I think you shortchanged him. He had 19 rebounds in that Iowa game, not 13. So
wow.
He was 25 and 19, and then he was 17 and 11 Saturday. And you know, as we talk right this second, there's been no announcement, but my guess is that he's got a great chance to be Big Ten Player of the Week with those kind of numbers and two wins.
You mentioned the hard work and the energy that comes from Jordan Murphy. One thing that's sort of plagued him at times this year, and Reggie Lynch as well, and I know we've talked about it before, Mike, is the foul trouble. How do you think coaches, I guess in this specific instance, Richard Pitino, how do they go about trying to limit guys who are prone to foul trouble? Because it certainly is worrisome seeing Lynch and Murphy rack them up frequently, but you don't want them to go out and lose their edge, because again, it's not an issue of effort or laziness, so you don't want them to foul out as frequently as they have this year. But at the same time, as if you try to limit that, it could make them lose their edge in some areas.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So I think they have to, you know, just play their game, and if the fouls happen, they happen. They have to be smart about the fouling as well. I'm not saying you give up a shot, you know, but if you're out of position so badly that this guy's got a shot, it might be wise. Okay, we'll take our lump on this one. You get the point. I'm not going to commit a foul. And the weird thing is with Lynch, especially, many of his foul difficulties have not come as a result of blocked shots. He's a very good shot blocker. Uses his left hand extremely well. And now he does get fouls called on occasion trying to block shots. But much of his stuff comes like in moving screens, in weird little places where he's playing defense way away from the basket. And he's got to be wiser about that. I think he has become a little wiser about that. But, you know, it's a big man's game. And when you're a big body like he is, you're going to get some fouls and things are going to, you know, someone runs into you and you may not have any intention of even creating contact. When you're a big body like that, and he is one of the bigger bodies in the league, it draws the attention because a smaller guy is going to hit the deck, is going to flail, is going to do whatever, not in a malicious way. I mean, I think it's legit contact, and the guy gets knocked off balance. You're going to draw attention to that as a potential foul. So there's a lot at play there, and I think... I mean, outside of crossing your fingers and saying a little prayer ahead of time, you're right. I don't think you want to take aggressiveness out of those guys because part of what makes Murphy so good, especially here in the last couple of games, has been his aggressiveness on the glass.
Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers, sports director at Minnesota News Network, our guest today on the Blitz. Good road win at Rutgers on Saturday over the weekend. And I don't know if this was just me, but the Gophers led by 9 at half, Mike. And in that second half, it got close a few times, but I just had the sense, I got the feel that the Gophers weren't going to let that one go, and I don't know if it had anything to do with Rutgers. I will say Rutgers is better this year than we've seen in years past, although the Big Ten record wouldn't reflect that, and it was a road game. It felt like Minnesota was safe in that game, even though the score would indicate that it was much closer.
Yeah, I agree with that. The Rutgers is limited offensively, so even during a commercial at one time, the Gophers, I think, were up 7 with like 3 minutes to go, and I had turned to Spence in the break, and I said, I think, you know, the Gophers are at 66, I want to say, or so I forget exactly. I said, 70 is probably going to win this game. They're just not good enough shooting team with enough firepower. They're so limited offensively. You know, Minnesota might only need to score 4 more points to win this game no matter what happens, you know, because and as it turned out, that was basically it. They won, I think, 72-63 or whatever the final was. Rutgers, you know, sitting at 2 wins, including one on the road. They won at Penn State. They had one win all of last year. That came against that depleted Gopher team late in the season that, you know, Minnesota was starting, you know, Stephon Sharp and, and you know, Darren Ha in really a tough situation with the suspensions, and Joey King was injured, and they, you know, it was just a mess, no doubt about it, late in that year last year. So they have definitely stepped up the game. Now, they're still so limited offensively. They have to stay in games by rebounding and defense, and I thought that was the impressive part of the game. And, you know, at the end of the day, they are not getting blown out, Rutgers, the way they were last year. I mean, they were down 20 so many times at half last year. It was just they had no chance. They've been a lot of single-digit games this year. They've been very tough. And, I mean, look, Minnesota was only a 5.5-point favorite in that game. I mean, it wasn't like they were a 20-point favorite and eked out a 9-point win. They surpassed expectations, so to speak. If you believe in the formulas that those folks run. So I think people have to get used to the fact in the Big Ten, really good teams go into Rutgers, and you know, you have to you know, grind it out. The other thing I'd say in specific to that game, and this was a fear of mine heading in for Minnesota, they're coming off of the double overtime win against Iowa Wednesday night. First of all, that's a long game, 50 minutes, 45 minutes by Coffee, 45 minutes by Mason. So just legs alone, tired alone, you know, heavy, you know, bodies from being tired put you a little bit on edge. But it's also an emotional win against a rival in a game that it looked like he had let slip away and then you recover from. There's, to me, a natural instinct that a team would come back and have a potential bit of a letdown or a bit of a flat line to start a game like that. And then you're on the road at a place where, now the crowd was better than I thought it'd be. They've been averaging about 4,300, and I think the crowd was a little over six. You know, it was a good Saturday start time right at noon. And so it was a pretty good crowd. So that part of it was a little less worrisome once I saw how many people were there. But you're playing a team, like you say, they've won two games. So just instincts there would tend to believe you're not going to get up like if you were playing on the road at Northwestern or Purdue or Michigan State and what have you. So all those factors led me to believe that this could be a closer game. But you're right. I thought they came out focused. They jumped out to a 9-2 lead. They trailed only once in the game, and that was for 18 seconds at 14-13. They led by double digits at half. They led by as many as 12. The other thing is they were up 10 late, and Rutgers had a 5-point possession, and that cut the lead in half, and that made us all a little nervous, but they kept them at arm's length, as you said, and get out of there with a win. And I think people, it's Rutgers, but I think in today's game you can't just say that. I think you got to say, yeah, it's a nice win, it's a road win, you take it, and now you move on with six games left.
Mike Grimm, our guest today, pending some sort of meltdown. You mentioned if the Gophers just go 500, they got six games left. If they go 3-3 the rest of the way, they should be good. And right now they're 18-7 overall, 6-6 in the conference. I mean, this appears to be a team that will make the big dance in March. And if they do go 3-3 the rest of the way, it'd be 21 wins, 500 in the Big Ten. You'd have to assume they'd be good to go. And I went through and tried to find those wins, as all fans do at this stage. And obviously nothing is a gimme, but I see Nebraska and Penn State coming to the barn. You would assume Minnesota's favorite in both of those games, two games that they should win. Penn State defended their home floor against the Gophers. Gophers are going to try to return the favor. And then if they just even split this week against a struggling Indiana team and then they play Michigan this weekend, I mean, there's your three, right?
Yeah, and I think that you've hit it right. You've got the win Saturday. One, it was important to avoid a bad loss. I mean, the Gophers actually dropped two spots in the RPI by winning that game, and a road game, which you get more credit for. But that's what happens when you play, you know, a team that is like 180 in the RPI, is that you just, you know, even a win hurts you. So they obviously would have been really damaged to lose that game. So one, you avoid that. But two, you avoid allowing for a lack of wiggle room, if that makes sense. You have, I think, a little wiggle room now. You don't have to win all four home games. You win three of the four, you're in the tournament. Now, that doesn't mean you can't go win them and go, you know, get greedy and win 10 or 11. Why not? You know, I mean, it would be very disappointing now not to at least get to 9, given where this would be a meltdown. Unfortunately, we've seen the Gophers have some meltdowns in the past, but to be sitting where they are right now and not make the tournament would be, you know, would be a disappointment, that's for sure. So you're right. I think they'll be favored against Michigan and Indiana. I think they'll be favored, slight favorites in those two, and you know, fairly significant favorites in the other two home games.
Speaking of that word meltdown, what's been going on with Indiana this year in your estimation? And I get they've been bit by the injury bug, but they're 15-11 overall, below 500 in conference. This is a team that beat Kansas, that beat North Carolina in the non-conference, and now, Mike, they've virtually completely fallen off the map this year.
Well, they've struggled defensively even in those wins early. They were my pick to win the Big Ten at the start. I don't think there's any doubt they've been hampered by the injuries. You know, you can't lose, you know, the guys they've lost and just expect to play at the high level. And it doesn't mean they can't win some games. I mean, even when you lose those teams, those guys, you can beat mediocre teams, middle-of-the-pack teams, including a team like Minnesota. But that said, you also are in a much less situation to, one, beat the top-end teams, and, two, have any room for error, so to speak, in those games. So, you know, defensively, they've never been a great defensive team under Tom Crean, but they haven't been very good. And they are, you know, they've lost 5 of 6. Tom Crean had some interesting things in the post game after the Michigan game yesterday. He took a shot at Michigan. He took a shot at his own players and especially his backcourt players about immaturity. And, you know, usually that ends up as a result or ends in a result one way or the other. Either that will fire the team up and they'll come out and play very inspired basketball. Obviously, that would not be good for Minnesota because you're trying to hold home court. Sometimes when you've lost 5 or 6 and the season seems to be going astray and your dreams are lost and the coach comes out and challenges you the way he did, that can result in a team, I don't want to flat out say giving up on a coach, but playing less than inspired basketball. Obviously, that's the hope. And then on top of it, their confidence has to just not be there. I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, we're going to be fired up. We're mad because coach, you know, called us out. We're going to go show him. That's fine. But if the confidence level's not there, it doesn't matter what you do. So I would think the confidence level's not there right this second for them. Is they were down 10 at home at the half yesterday. And that's uncommon for them. So, and now I saw some Twitter folks that follow basketball very closely cover it, suggest that Crean might be in a little trouble, which is surprising to me. I mean, the guy's won 2 Big Ten titles in the last 4 years, and you know, has had some injuries this year. But you know, there are times, I suppose, where his style can wear thin when things aren't going well, and maybe that's where they're sitting right now with him.
Keys for the Gophers this week at home against the Hoosiers and Wolverines would be what, Mike Grimm?
Well, I think that they're a good team. They're a middle-of-the-pack Big Ten team that's going to probably make the tournament, assuming all goes to plan. Now, again, I mentioned that, you know, you could have, you know, if they don't, it would be a meltdown. We've seen meltdowns in this program before, so I'm not in any position just taking anything for granted right now. So that's where they're at. If they want to, in my opinion, is this is the week they can take that next step. If they can sweep the week with 2 home games against teams, you know, they've had mixed success with. They've actually played Indiana well over the years. Even in Indiana's best teams, remember, they knocked off a number one ranked Indiana team at Williams Arena a couple years ago. They've won at Assembly Hall a handful of times. And then Michigan, they haven't beaten Michigan since like 1944, it seems like. Obviously, that's hyperbole, but John Beilein has had the Gophers' number. So if they can sweep this week and get continued inspired play from Murphy in the manner in which I described earlier in chatting with you, where he is going about his role, getting points through hard work and offensive rebounding, defensive rebounding, running, that kind of stuff, cutting to the basket and getting a dunk, which this team has become a very good passing team. To me, that can elevate them. If they can sweep the week, they've now become elevated into the point where now you're playing for seeding purposes, and they haven't been in that position. Really, honestly, this is my 11th year. The Gophers have never been in that position to where with 4 games left in the year, you're now playing for seeding purposes, not just to get in. They've only made 3 tournaments in my 10 years. This is my 11th. And all 3 of those years, they were a bubble team. One of the years they went in, they weren't even on the bubble to start the Big Ten tournament, and then they made the championship game against Ohio State, and that put them in the tournament. So this is uncharted waters for most in this program, and even for fans, where this could be the week that they take that step. Northwestern took the step last night with a win at Wisconsin, and Minnesota, I think, can join in that rank of, okay, now you're sitting where you're playing for seeding purposes, and that's the key to the week. They got to keep getting play like this from Murphy, play their game, and I think the mantra's got to be, let's take that next step in the Big Ten as a team and as a program.
Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers, sports director at Minnesota News Network. Both games this week against Indiana and Michigan right here on KATE. Mike, as always, thank you for the time.
You got it. Enjoyed it, Mitch. Thank you.
Weekend and Monday headlines and much more coming up next right here on The Blitz.